Welcome to Geek Actually After Show, episode 103 for the 9th of October, 2010. And if you are in our live room at all, you'll know we've had a few problems starting.
Yay.
But we are here, and hopefully all goes well. All right, so let's first of all, quick disclaimer, as we always do on the after show, which is, of course, that this is our after show that we record at the end of our recording day. We've already recorded the Tech Actually show and the Film Actually show. And what we do here is we just kind of put the mics back on and chit-chat about anything that didn't fit into the other categories or we ran out of time for, or just basically, you know, chew the fat for half an hour or so and just see what happens.
I've been chewing fat.
Yeah.
I've been jerky.
You're in jerky. And those voices you're hearing, I'm David McVeigh, and I'm joined... continuing to be joined by Josh Philpott. How are you again?
Yes, I'm still here.
You're still here.
You still can't get rid of me.
And Shane Gregory is still with us as well. How are you, Shane?
Good, thank you.
Fine, just ignore me.
I'm going to ignore you all day long. All right, so now, things we are going to talk about today, and I teased in our Film Actually show that we are going to talk about Sandwich in a Can.
But no, I'm so curious.
But we'll come back to that. I'm going to leave Josh curious.
Oh my God, the name of it is so awesome.
Isn't it great?
Let's not wreck it yet.
We'll come back to that in just a few minutes. First thing I wanted to say is that one of the things that has occurred to me over the course of 103 episodes is that we watch a lot of movies and a lot of television, and we only ever review one per show, and I'm going to take a page out of the Slash Filmcast a little bit, but we're not going to put it in the main show. I just thought for our after show, I thought one of the things we might want to do is just discuss some of the other things that we get up to and watch throughout the week, and not necessarily reviews, just, you know, quick encapsulated things, and just discuss. And I thought I'd start us off by saying that I've had a huge movie week this week, and I don't know, it's just for some reason I've just been catching up with things. Yeah. And first of all, I saw, of course, I mentioned on the Film Action show, I saw the preview of Let Me In, and we'll review that next week, so I won't go into a lot of detail about that. And of course, we saw Buried as well. But I also had a chance to catch up with the film Jonah Hex. Which has been universally lambasted everywhere. Everybody's saying it's crap and it's horrible. And I have to say, and people are going to sit there and say I'm an idiot, I guess, but I didn't think it was that bad, you know? And I sat there and I watched it and I went, okay, it's not a great film. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say it's some sort of great caliber film or anything. But, you know, it actually held my attention, and it is no worse than, you know, your average 80s Steven Seagal film.
Is it better or is it worse than Ghost Rider?
It's better than Ghost Rider. No, it's better than Ghost Rider.
There you go.
No, it's better than Ghost Rider.
That's the vibe I got out of it.
And one of the reasons why it's better than Ghost Rider is because Josh Brolin is doing a really good job as Jonah Hex. I mean, now I'm coming from a position where I used to read Jonah Hex comics in the 80s. I haven't read one for quite some time, but I used to read it quite religiously in the 80s, and I quite liked the idea of Jonah Hex. And the film does capture that feeling. It does capture the whole concept of Jonah Hex and, you know, being able to bring the dead back to life brief periods of time to talk to them and stuff like that. And it's all about revenge, and it's basically just a revenge action film. And it is no worse than, I don't know, let's say Hard to Kill with Steven Seagal. You know, it's like, it's in that sort of category. It's not great. It's not going to tax your brain at all. But, you know, I never sat there. It wasn't Last Airbender. Let's face it. You know, I didn't sit there going, oh God, this is awful. This is crap. It held my attention. And to its credit, Megan Fox isn't actually in it that much. You know, she has like appearances throughout as this whore with his friendly neighborhood whore, you know, you know, whatever you want to call her. I don't know. And she actually holds her own. You know, she's all right. John Malkovich chews the scenery as he does nowadays. I don't think John Malkovich is put in a serious performance in quite some time.
I can't wait to see him in Red.
Me either. And I just finished reading the four prequel comics to Red, because after the Red comic, they've come back and they've now written four new comics, which are the prequel to the film, which are kind of bringing it into that world. And that's actually really interesting. I have them, yes. I'll pass them on to you. They're actually quite interesting. They're not brilliant comics, and you can see they are leading up to the film. So they're not standalone. You need the film to come away from them. But they're kind of fun, you know, and I quite like them. The other things I watched this week were The Special Relationship, which is the film with the dumbest title of the year, quite frankly. Which is
it the dumbest title though, or does it fit? Because
it actually means something in the film. They actually talk about the special relationship is actually talked about in the film. It's a reference that the press has given the American and British governments. They have a special relationship. It's just that as a film title, it doesn't really sell the film because it's kind of a dorky title. Now, I will say that Michael Sheen as Blair was stellar. It's a role that he's done before, twice now, but the one that really stands out is in The Queen. And the most intriguing piece of it is that the woman who played Cherie Blair, his wife, in The Queen, also plays his wife in this. So it's almost like a sequel to The Queen. And they're both excellent. The problem I had with the film was Dennis Quaid, who is about a 65%, 35% performance as Clinton. He on the most part, sells it. But the problem with Clinton is Clinton has such a unique speech pattern and he's such a unique-looking character anyway that it's very easy to fall into caricature when playing him. And for the first half an hour of the film, when he's the, you know, the big, bold, blustering Clinton who everybody admires, he is kind of a caricature. It's the second half of the film where the Monica Lewinsky case is broken and Clinton is a broken man, basically, and Blair is gaining popularity. That's where he's much better. And he's actually much better as Clinton in the second half of the film. Not a bad film. It's not as solid as The Queen. It's not perfect, but it is a very interesting film to see the dynamic of this relationship and to see Blair go from being kind of timid and not knowing what he's doing and being America's puppy dog to being more powerful than Clinton. And that's kind of interesting. So that was actually an interesting one. Another one that I happened to catch this week, and I'll pass this over to you guys in a second, but another one I happened to catch this week was on late night TV, and I was far too late watching it because it caught me, and I hadn't seen it in quite some time, which was Stanley Kubrick's Lolita. And I got to say, after not having seen this film in probably 15 years or so, it is no less potent now than it was when I saw it the first time. It is a really, really well done film because you got to consider as well for its day, they couldn't blatantly say what was going on, but they managed to sell the point that he is, you know, banging the crap out of this underage girl and without showing you anything. Wow. And the thing I found most interesting about it, though, and this is a credit to Kubrick, is that he took two characters who were both horrible, unlikable characters and put them together and actually make them mesmerizing because they kind of, these two Wow, what is that sound?
Drilling? Vacuum cleaner?
Don't worry, just ignore the sound. They are actually doing some renovations next door as well. It could be that. I'm not sure what that is. Yeah, it's probably there. It's probably next door. There's a daycare center next door to our studio, and they're in the middle of doing like renovations and shit on it. And I was hoping they wouldn't do anything today, but it looks like they're doing something. Just ignore any background noise. Anyway, the thing about Lolita was it took these two characters, James Mason's character and the girl who plays Lolita, whose name has escaped me, and they put them together in this really toxic relationship, and it's just mesmerizing to watch. If you haven't seen Kubrick's Lolita, have a look at it. Do not watch the Adrian Lyne remake, which is awful.
Oh, that's the one I think I've seen.
Yeah, no, the Adrian Lyne remake that was remade in the, I think it was the 90s, was terrifically awful. it's brutal. I couldn't watch. On first viewing, I watched it on a VHS tape, and I actually had to stop it. I couldn't get through it, and then I came back to it later and finished watching it. It's just not good. What have you guys been watching this week? Anything?
Shay, you can go first on this one. Yeah.
Iron Man 2 got released on Blu-ray.
Bought my copy!
Yeah, that's what I've been watching.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there you go. That's right, because you watched it a couple of days ago.
I actually put it in the show notes that I've got that here as well, but I wrote these on Friday, and I actually haven't watched the film yet. I've sat and watched all the special features, but we're actually planning a movie night, possibly tonight, where we're going to sit and watch the actual film again. I'm really looking forward to seeing it on Blu-ray. What was your take on it on Blu-ray?
I like it. It's just as it's as cleaned up as it was in the first original Iron Man release that was on Blu-ray. So it's as good as that. I think where it's going to shine is obviously the special features.
The special features are great.
3+ hours worth and vaults of information.
So the deleted scenes are really interesting because, you know, the scene where she kisses the helmet and says, "Go get him, boss."
Yeah.
That's actually in the deleted scenes. That was originally the opening of the film. And it's a really good scene. It's not finished for this, and he's, you can see all the dots on him for where they're going to CG in armor and all that sort of stuff. But it's all about he is having like a panic attack and he's vomiting in the toilet, and the credits are rolling over all of this where he's basically saying, I can't do it, I can't do this mission. And of course all he's doing is going to Stark Expo, but you get this feeling like he's going on some super mission or something like that. It's a good scene. I think they made the right choice. I think the way they open the film is a better choice. I am looking forward to seeing that again on Blu-ray. Anything else?
I've been buying, I bought two horrible films. I've only watched one of them. They're the kind of thing that kind of drains you after you've watched it, but I watched the original King Kong. When I say the original, I say the one in the middle, which was the
1976, I want to say.
Was it 76?
Yeah, I think it's 75, 76.
With Jeff Bridges. Wow, man, that's... that's pretty toxic.
It's fantastic. It's on the Gloriously Wonderful Bad List, dude.
Yeah, there's that, and I also bought Flash Gordon, which I haven't watched yet, but plan to watch very, very soon.
You think King Kong's toxic.
But I will tell you one thing. I have been spending the crap out of money on music this week. I've spent about $100, and in JB employee dollars, that's about $300 worth of music. So, yeah, I am just albumed out at the moment. I'm in a massive musical blitz.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, that would be pretty much what I've been doing.
It's funny. I bought my first album. I shouldn't say that because I actually buy soundtracks every week for the show and stuff like that. But the first album I bought just for me in quite some time. I actually bought it's funny because it's an older album. I bought Joan Osborne's album, the one that's got, you know, What If God Was One of Us, you know, the One of Us song. And it was interesting because I heard the song this week and I kind of went, I remember that song. I remember where I was when that song came out. And I remember actually not liking that song very much at the time. And hearing it again, I went, that's actually not a bad song. And so I bought the album. So go figure. You know, I didn't buy album. I actually iTunes'd it. So, but yeah, no, I've been listening to that album. I quite like that. That's good. The other film I bought this week, and you bought it as well, is The Thing.
Yeah. Oh, dude, the second that I saw it on Blu-ray, it went straight into my buy pile. I would have bought that at full price. I would have bought that at $40. I would have gone in. I would have grabbed it. But you know what? It is only... like $12.99,
and then it's two for 20.
If you guys have a JB close to you, just go grab it. It's just the best film you will ever own for $12.
Absolutely, and I've got to say, I actually that wasn't on my list of what I've been watching, but I actually did watch that as well. And funnily enough, I didn't put it on my list. I don't know why, but I also watched King Kong, the 1970s version, this week as well, because I also bought that on Blu-ray, and I love that film. That film is so campy, crappy, shitty film. It's so funny. But I will say about The Thing, it is a masterpiece, and it looks so good on Blu-ray. I actually watched it twice in a row. I watched it and then immediately watched it again with picture in picture.
Is it worth it?
Brilliant.
Oh, yes.
Now, the picture in picture, I will say that a lot of the clips that are in the picture in picture are actually from the documentaries that are on the special features. But it's to see them in context.
Well, it's, and they break it's them awesome up into, just to see them with, you know.
Yeah, and that they talk about. And funny thing is, they're kind of out of sync with the film, though. So you'll be watching it, and then a picture-in-picture will pop up, and they're talking about something else that's already happened because they've got so much material to get across. But it is well worth seeing. The only thing I will say is that I am disappointed. Now, this is one of those funny things that happens to people who watch a lot of movies. I watched The Thing at the cinema in 1982, and I have seen it a gazillion times on video, and I've seen it a gazillion times on DVD. And the music has been slightly altered for the DVD and Blu-ray release, so these two releases. Now, I couldn't tell you for the life of me what the song was originally, but I've seen the film so often that I know it's different. And it's, you know, where the radio is playing in the kitchen, and the guy comes on and says, turn that shit down, and he turns it up. Right? In the DVD and Blu-ray releases, it's Stevie Wonder's Superstition. The original film, it wasn't that song. It was a different song.
I've only ever heard it with that song.
I know. And so, and for me, I can listen to that and go, that is not right. That is
it
not
the song. It also sounds too clean.
Yeah, it is. And the original song suited the scene. And so it's one of those situations where it's so ingrained in me that I know it's different. But I cannot, for the life of me, as a chat room can help out, I don't know what the original song was that was playing there. But they obviously lost the rights to the song and they had to change the song for the release. It doesn't affect the quality of the film. But it is one of those little irritating niggles where you go, that's not quite right, you know? But it's like, it's another example of this when they re-released Flying High, or for the American listeners, Airplane, on video in this country. on sell-through video, they changed the songs. And there was actually a disclaimer on the back of the box saying some music has been changed because they lost the rights to a whole bunch of the songs, including, you know, the opening scene of Flying High with the tail fin going through the clouds and they're playing the Jaws theme. It didn't have the Jaws theme. It had different music. Mm-hmm. And it was later on its DVD release, they restored all the original music to it. So we actually got the music fixed up on it. But that was like, I actually watched it going, this is not the same film. You take all the music out, it's not the same film anymore. And I hate it when that happens. It's one of the reasons why Spaced was delayed for so long getting its US DVD release was because they didn't own extended rights to any of the songs that were used in the series.
Right.
And so if they released it in the States on DVD, they would have had to change all the music and it wouldn't have been the same show. So they actually waited and bided their time and actually picked up all the individual rights to the songs again so that they could finally release it on DVD around the world. Wow. So these things happen. What can I tell you? I will say one thing about Blu-ray, though. The inequities of pricing. I've got some graphics here for you guys to have a look at. Avatar, the special edition, the one that we've been waiting for, Josh, the one that we go, finally, we're going to get
the one that film. I'm actually considering getting.
Absolutely. The one, and I'm going to consider buying it even more. And in fact, I'm definitely going to buy it because not only, remember we talked about this on the Film Action show where we said they're releasing an extended version at the cinema and then they're going to add more scenes again. And it's like, when are they ever going to stop with this? Well, on this collector's edition, they put all three versions of the film. So you get the cinema release, you get the extended cinema release, and you get the full new version that they're putting out, plus two discs of bonus features and makings of, and it's just an amazing collection. And in America, if you buy this Blu-ray amazing collection, according to their pricing on Amazon, you're going to only spend $35.99. Wow, that is brilliant. I can't wait to buy it. So my first thought was, I'm going to go shoot over to an Australian retailer, because unfortunately my Blu-ray player isn't Unregion lock, so I'm going to have to buy the local version. So I shot over to a retailer. This is Easy DVD here in Australia, thinking I'll pre-order a copy of it, or at least have a look at what their price is. And they're charging $94.97.
Wow.
The exchange rate at this moment in time, can I remind people, is 98 cents to the dollar. We're almost on parity with American pricing. Why are they charging us three times the price for exactly the same thing? So they're not getting my pre-order, and I'm going to wait till we get a bit closer, because as we get closer, other retailers will start announcing it. I want to see what JB is going to charge for it. But if they're going to charge that much money, I may not buy it again. So I may have to wait till it goes in the bargain bin, because that is just screwed up completely. And that is how we get screwed in this country constantly over these things. So I was really pissed off at that. But the actual collector's edition looks amazing. And if you shoot over to geekactually.com right now, I have a post up which has a list of all the details of the release plus a trailer for it embedded on the page. You can have a look at it, and I'm really hoping. But speaking of trailers, I got to show you this. This is just for the laughs. This was found on YouTube. Some guy has, and we'll put the link to this in our show notes, has taken the Inception trailer and decided to make it, what if Inception was a 1950s movie? And so he's recut the trailer with 1950s, and all the voiceovers you're hearing, by the way, are real voiceovers cut from other films and so forth. And it's very clever. It's very funny. It looks like an old 50s, thriller. So here you go. This is Inception, 1950s style.
Don't forget this man. He has plenty to do with the terrifying mystery that causes
a feeling of dizziness, a swimming in the head, figuratively a state in which all things seem to be engulfed in a whirlpool of terror.
You create the world of the dream. We bring the subject into that dream, and they fill it with their subconscious.
Story of a love so powerful it broke down all barriers between life and death. A beautiful girl haunted by the desperate, unexplainable urge to destroy herself.
I'm going to jump and you're coming with me.
No, I'm not.
come on, that's gold.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
That's just great. I just love that. And we'll put the link up to that in the show. So if you're listening to the audio, you got to watch it. It's all black and white. It's got the old style title cards and the whole bit. It's really clever. I really like that. But I have to, at this point, I think now, what are we, 20 minutes into the show, mm-hmm. I have to introduce you to Sandwich in a Can.
Now, I have been waiting for this since you started talking about
this. This falls into the only in America category. And first of all, I'm going to start this with a parody. Okay. On YouTube, I went searching YouTube to see if I could find clips for it. And I came across this. This is just a joke, right? This isn't the actual product. But this was a year ago this came up. I was looking at the dates on it. This was a year ago this came up. And all I could think is how ahead of the game these guys were when we actually show you the real thing. So here is the parody.
Sandwich in a can. Now available in these delicious combinations. Ham and Swiss on rye.
In a can.
Peanut butter and jelly on white bread.
In a can.
Grilled cheese in its own sauce.
In a can.
And new family-sized six-foot hoagie.
In a can.
Feeds up to two people.
Sandwich in a can. It's the sandwich that comes
in a can.
All right. And so we sit there and we go, okay, that's a joke and blah, blah, blah. And then let me introduce you now to the Candwich. This is real.
Did you just say the Candwich?
The Candwich. Okay. Yeah. And so far we've got peanut butter and jelly strawberry, peanut butter and jelly grape, and barbecue chicken.
Barbecue chicken.
Barbecue chicken. That's my favorite. And just in case you think we are still joking, this is actually from Australian media. This was an interview that was done with the creator of the Candwich.
Oh, dude, this just gets
you know,
better.
The obvious question is why? Why put a sandwich in a can?
Well, it's designed to come out of a soft drink vending machine. So you could get a soft drink and a sandwich out of the same machine without having to change anything on the machine. It can be transported on the same truck in the same space. It's just designed just to fit right into the same existing infrastructure.
Okay. Now, run us through what sandwiches you can get in the can, and have you got one there so you can show us really what it's like?
Well, I do. In fact, you can get peanut butter and jelly is our first flavor, just because it's easy to understand. People here in the U.S. Eat quite a bit of peanut butter and jelly. It's a children's favorite. I love it. And it's a large can, and it comes with the bread packaged inside of it, as well as the peanut butter and jelly.
Okay, so
You make your own sandwich from the ingredients in the can, right? Yeah.
Well, there you go.
On the peanut butter and jelly, you do. The peanut butter and jelly, and then...
here it is.
It looks... we just made this one up, and... just peanut butter and jelly. And it's just a good peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Mm-hmm. All right. It's just a good peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Just in case that's, you know.
Now, okay. With the peanut butter and jelly, I can understand it. I can understand they said a little packet of peanut butter, a little packet of jelly, and, you know, or jam for the Australian listeners, not jelly, like, you know. But, and the bread, and it's sealed in plastic. And he goes on, to say in that whole interview, which I didn't grab because it's like 4 minutes long, but in the whole interview, he does go on to say, because I asked him what sort of preservatives are in this thing to keep it. And he says, look, the things that you really got to deal with are things like oxygen. You need to be able to make it so that mold can't grow on it. So this is why it's not so much that it has any new preservatives in it. It's sealed in plastic and then sealed in a can. You know, the thing is, you're keeping moisture and oxygen off of it. It's not going to go moldy. That's why we put stuff in cans, you know. Do I want to eat a sandwich in a can? Well, you know, the peanut butter and jelly one might be reasonable, but really... When you start getting to things like barbecue chicken, I don't know if I want a barbecue chicken sandwich out of a can. You know? And speaking of this, have you guys seen that YouTube video? It's a real product, apparently. I don't have it here, but the real product, which is a hamburger in a can. You actually take this – in the video they show, they take the can and you like boil it in water. And you take it out and you pop the top and the hamburger comes out of it. It's like this skanky looking cheeseburger that's been broiled inside the can. It's like you sit there and go, and that's not even American. That's like somewhere in Asia or something that makes that. It's like you sit there and go, oh dear. I think we've, hold on. Oh God, it's a whole chicken in a can. We got a link from Gizmodo. Delta Knight, thank you very much. I'm opening the link right now. Let's have a look.
It's loading up in the same tab.
Oh, there it is. Okay, good. Let's have a look here. He just sent me a link here, and we'll put this in the show notes too, I think. Oh God, it's a whole chicken in a can. Until this moment, I did not know that you could fit a whole chicken in a can. The directions on the back use the word delicious 3 times.
It's chicken.
You guys says, it makes the cheeseburger in a can look like a snack burger, like a shack burger. See that the chicken looks like after cooking and more. Okay, I want to see this chicken. Do we have... see what the chicken looks like after cooking and more yummy, yum, yum photos here. Where do we click on here, though?
I don't know. Food Network Humor. That sounds good.
All right. Let's have a look at that one. Oh, man. Whole chicken in a can. Jesus Christ. All right. Whole chicken in a can. Yummo. Here we go. There's the can.
There we go. We've got that. We've got the back.
You guys can't see this, obviously, but if you follow that link that's in the show notes right now for those who are watching live, and we'll put this link in the show notes. Serving suggestions. Well, don't you...
Oh, dude, that's so gross. It's like nothing but gelatin. That's so gross.
Oh, that's wrong. That's wrong in every
way. Oh, that's just so skanky.
Oh, man.
Dude.
God, I hope you guys went and had a look at that.
Oh, God.
The pop shot says, oh, my fucking God. God, that's horrible. All right, so my sandwich in the can suddenly isn't looking so bad.
That sandwich in the can looks edible. That just looks just wrong, man.
Oh, man, that's just vile. Oh, dear. Okay, well, I'll make sure I copy that link
down,
the show
man.
Notes.
People have got to see that, dude.
We'll put that in the show
people
notes.
People have got to know not to go anywhere near that.
Oh, man.
Warning. Warning.
Oh, God, it's like it grew all the way up in an egg.
It's like it's birthing out of that can. So
Popshot says he feels abused.
Oh, really fucking blame him, though.
That
is quite possibly the worst thing we've ever seen on this show.
Delta Knight says, I love that link, laugh out loud. Oh, man. Okay, that just put everything I had to say in perspective. All right, let's move off canned food for a minute.
Oh, I don't feel good.
I feel a bit ill after that. All right, so what would you guys say if I said that we're starting to find... Oh, man.
I need a moment, Dave. I just...
You could still see its feet, couldn't you?
Oh. Dude, all I can hear is those noises. Just can you imagine it coming out? It's
just like pet food. Just, out of a tin.
Oh, it's so wrong. Show's over. Fuck this. I'm going home.
I think that's just about it. Show stopped us. Actually, one quick thing, very quickly, and we'll just say that it's not ready for primetime viewing yet, guys. But two companies, I believe it's Toshiba and I think it's Sharp is the other one, are coming out with, here it is, I've got the article right here, that are coming out with glasses-free 3D TV. Mm-hmm. Now, before you get all excited about this is basically using the same technology that is on a 3DS. So we're talking about lenticular screens. I'm assuming, now, they're saying, oh no, it's much more impressive than that, and it's got like a, what is it, it's got like a 30 degree viewing angle or something. What's coming up there? Sorry, our chat room is still on the chicken.
Numero zero. That is the worst thing. I'm hung up on the plop sound that it has to make, and then the sound that is ripples slowly. You just imagine it just moving backwards and forwards.
Do you know what it makes me think of? That chicken made me think of a racer head. You know the little quail?
Oh, no, man. Don't go there.
That's what it made me think of. All right, so very quickly on this 3D TV thing, basically they've been demoed and shown off. But here's the kicker. 12 inches and 20 inches. These things are portable TVs. They're small. And they've only got like a 30-degree viewing angle or something like that. So they're not ready yet.
To be honest, that's what I would be playing 3D on anyway, because I find large screens in 3D really screw with my eyes.
Yeah, but a good, like my TV downstairs with a good pair of glasses, that's a perfect size from back.
I disagree. I've sat there in store and I've looked at the biggest ones we have and they're just really horrible to watch because I just get sore eyes.
Or is that also just a side effect of the fact that I don't think 3D is ready for TV yet? But that's a whole different issue. These ones, though.
If I could get something where I don't have to wear glasses, I would be happily. It would become my second TV. It'd be like if I needed to play a game in 3D or something like that. That would be what I would get.
Right. Well, yeah, and, you know, for portable use and carry.
Keeps going. Would you guys stop already? It's horrible. Enough.
It's hung up on this chicken. I've got to get this note. I've got to get this link on the show note. Yeah. It's anyway. So these are coming at 12 inches, 20 inches, and they're saying that there is a 56 inch version coming. But at this point, they've really only demoed the small ones, and I think, you know, the 3DS is going to be the big test on all of this, is to see what the 3DS is really like in real life and how it works. And the other question is, these glasses-free 3D TVs, how well will they play 2D?
Well, the 3DS runs standard.
You just turn it off?
Or? Yeah, yeah. You can turn it off while it's doing stuff, dude. You just flick a switch and it just turns off 3D.
So how does that work exactly?
Well, the image is pulled backwards. So it's basically you've got a switch, like a thing that you can go you can set the level of 3D.
Yeah, and if you want to turn it off altogether, you just push it up right next to the lenticular, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. I don't know. I don't know how well these are going to do. I just thought I'd bring them up. I didn't put them in the tech show because it was kind of like, you look at it and go, is it real? You know, what's the point in this? But anyway, I just thought we'd bring that up. I'm not in any rush to get a 3D TV, quite frankly. I'm quite happy with a high-def 2D screen. Yeah. I think 3D for me is a cinema experience, and I'll stick to it. Now, late-breaking news. That's right, we had one for Film Action. We didn't do it.
Yeah.
There was an article today on First Showing. I think it's .net, .com, whichever one it is, which I thought we really have to bring this up very quickly because I have all new love and respect for Warner Brothers.
Oh, right, yes.
Now, now what has happened is that, as we all know, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 and Part 2 are supposed to be 3D releases. Now we're here at the eve of its release. It's coming out in December, and Warner Brothers made an announcement today. They're not releasing it in 3D. They've actually pulled the plug, and they're only going to release the 2D version.
Now, yes.
Their argument is that the 3D conversion isn't quite there, and they don't want to release a substandard product. Mm-hmm. And as far as they're concerned, they would much rather either have a perfect conversion or a 2D version. They don't want to put out a substandard version, and they said in the article, their first priority is a complete respect for Joe Rowling's original work. Now, this is a big thing because Warner Brothers released Clash of the Titans. So they have learnt from Clash of the Titans and they have come to the terms with the fact that a rush job conversion doesn't work. Now, they are saying Part 2 will probably still be in 3D because they've got more time. They've still got 6 months or whatever it is to get there. But Part 1 is only going to be in 2D. They have decided to drop the 3D release. And all I can say is, yes! Because a bad rush job conversion doesn't work. Now, if a couple other companies would get this under their skulls, we might be in business. Now, Delta 9 does the chicken come and kill you then? Now, what the hell are they on?
Don't worry. It's very far back in the
conversation. It's like The Ring, but with a slimy chicken.
You have to read the entire conversation. It's not worth going into.
All right. Well, we're gonna finish up here for the day. Unless you've got something?
No? I bumped the microphone. Okay. Is what I was saying. Oh, but yes, I do have something to say.
Oh, yes, please do.
One last plug for it. We have set up a Dropbox account.
Oh, yes. I was going to get to all the plugging stuff now. So it's
Yeah. We have set up a Dropbox account, which is basically a program. Next time you're in the live chat room, jump in and say, I want access to this, or email feedback@geekactually.com or Dave personally to get invited into this thing. Basically, once it's there, this is a file sharing thing we've set up. The rules are nothing pornographic because we don't want to attract the wrong type of element
site. Let's clarify this. We're not draconians here. If you put up a girl who's got a bare bust, for instance, it's not going to get you kicked out or anything.
No, we're just saying,
try not to go throwing out.
Exactly, no, because I don't want it to be something that's just going to escalate
with
that.
Right.
That's all we mean by that. But the other thing is that we will be dropping things up for everybody this week. We have put up the Inception 50s trailer, which is in the box now. That's for iPhone size, so people can jump in and watch that.
Oh, somebody found
that.
In...
Yep, no, I put it up there.
All right.
And we also have a small clip from Social Network, which you guys can have a look at as well. So, yeah, if you guys want access to that, just Dropbox, drop give us a link and we will send you an invite to the Dropbox, the Geek Actually Dropbox.
There you go. Excellent. And while we're at this, all this talking business, we'll also say that we're trying to reinvigorate our forums. So make sure you hop over there. We're going to start putting up a whole bunch of new stuff there, including some new polls. We're also doing a thing for Film Actually. For those who listen to Film Actually, you already know about this, but we play a different clip in the opening of Film Actually every week. We're now challenging you film buffs to identify that clip. We'll have that up this afternoon. And from now on, because my chat room is already yelled at me, it'll be up on Friday so that you can actually put it up there. We also would love you to put up stuff about the podcasts or any suggestions, or if you disagree with us, put it in the forum. Mm-hmm. We have a podcast section in the forum, so go there and have a look. We also put up our screening times for whatever session we're going to for the unofficial Geek Actually Movie mm-hmm. Club every week, so you can find out if you want to join us on one of those. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Now, what else we got? We've also got a whole bunch of new product. We mentioned this last week, but we'll mention it again really quickly. I got a whole bunch of new product up for all of our new logos mm-hmm. and everything in Cafe Press.
Okay.
T-shirts and mugs, and I'm putting in an order this weekend because I want to get some mugs for the studio here. Mm-hmm. We've got T-shirts and mugs and other stuff with the various logos, all the different categories of shows. You can find that stuff there. And so it looks really good, and that's all thanks to our good friend, Josh Spencer. It's getting late in the day, man. Scott, why do I have names Scott in my head? Anyway, Josh Spencer, who you can find at attackninja.blogspot.com for doing that great artwork for us. And it looks fantastic on a T-shirt, let me tell you. You can make sure you follow us on our fan page because whenever we put up new articles, just to explain how this works, the fan page isn't where we put up fresh stuff like our articles, but our fan page is where we propagate stuff. So if we put up an article on Geek Actually, we put a link to it in the fan page. So that way, if you are a Facebook user, which 500 million of you are, you will know.
Wow, Sid was such spite.
No, I'm just saying, everybody's a Facebook user in some way or another. You follow that fan page, you'll know that new stuff is going up on Geek Actually. Or, of course, you can just follow the RSS feed, but not everybody does. In fact, I actually found out the other day, I was listening to something they were saying, RSS is dying. People just don't, unless you're actually in the industry, the general public don't really like RSS that much. Mm. It's a funny thing. Anyway, but you know, they do like Facebook, and this is a way you can find out. And if you want to communicate with me directly, you can follow me on Twitter. Twitter.com/DaveMcVeigh. I also put on Twitter things like when we're going live and all that sort of stuff. So if we're ever doing a test broadcast or we're doing something unusual or out of the ordinary, we'll Twitter it. And that's where you'll find out whether it's coming up. Mm-hmm. So you can do that. Now, Josh, you've got a website to pimp?
Yep.
Pimp
RawDLC.com. This is a gaming website. Go over there, check out all the awesome links, footage, information we have up there. And also we do a live show, 8 p.m. on Tuesday. Shane behind the desk doing the tech. Me in front of the camera with Dave Kaziki and Nathan Lawrence. And it's a great show, and this week we're doing Spider-Man.
Cool. Now, that's Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Shane?
You can find me on Facebook. Just type in Shane Robert Gregory, or my Xbox Live gamer tag is Nexus81. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I've already been mentioned that I'm the tech guy.
Cool. All right. And now, just to remind you that if you have story ideas or you want to comment on the chicken or anything else that at all that you want to do, or you want to run out and go buy yourself a copy of the thing. No. Sorry. No. Forget the thing. I just remembered I had a graphic there and I just wanted to use it. If you agree, disagree, want to offer us feedback, comments, anything at all, just remember that you can always send us an email, feedback@geekactually.com, or we have a voicemail line, 02-801-1-3167. That is a Sydney number. If you are international and you want to send us a voicemail, connect with us via Skype. Our ID is Geek Actually. You'll have to be friended first, but then, of course, no problem. You send any voicemail you want. And we have to just really, really, really quickly, before we get out of here, just give our friends a quick plug because they are our friends. And that letter that we read in Film Actually was so heart-wrenching that I have to make sure I mention Brad, Charlie, and Jesse over at the Movie Fan House. Mm-hmm. And their podcasts, Movie Fan Cast and Write This Instant. Find them at moviefanhouse.com or search for them on iTunes. They are movie review podcasts, but like polar opposites of each other. One of them is like general cinema, new releases, and all that sort of stuff. And the other one is deep analysis of slightly older films and more obscure films. So they're both really good podcasts. And our friends over at the Real Junkies podcast, weekendronin.com, or search for them on iTunes, R-E-E-L, Real Junkies. They review movies while drinking tequila and having a lot of fun. They are a bunch of really good guys who just love movies. And they've actually been doing a lot of really interesting things lately because they've been doing a lot of older films. So they do the new release film, and then they talk about, like, DVD releases and stuff like that that they've been watching. And a lot of them are, like, bad 70s blaxploitation films and stuff. It's a lot of fun to listen to. So do check them out as well. I think that's it. I'm done. I have nothing else. I'm a shell. It's been a long day.
Thanks to the chat room for being so active today. I've struggled to keep up with you guys.
And look, you know, at this time of day, the chat room's kind of thinned out to only a few people, but they are really active. And Popshotter says he'd rather forget about the chicken at this point. All right, so remember...
In the immortal words of, if you've ever seen the Futurama piss takes they do of the Twilight Zone... There's one particular line that comes to mind when I think of that chicken, which is, you watched it, you can't unwatch it.
I want to know if there is YouTube video on that chicken.
I don't want YouTube video. I'm quite happy. I'm with the guys that were coming up with the story that if you watch that in 3D, actually what will happen is that it will crawl out and kill you. That's actually what I think would happen.
Do you know what it reminds me a little bit of? It reminds me of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, the chicken
man. That's it. We're out of here.
Now, I just want to say one more thing. I saw, I don't remember who said it because it's way back now because the chicken took over. Somebody way back said that they really want to see How to Train Your Dragon. Mm. And was saying, I don't know why. I didn't get a chance to comment on that at the time. Fantastic film.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen it, see it. And it's coming out on Blu-ray real soon. It's like this week or next week or something like that. Get it. Buy it. Sight unseen. You will love this film. If you like Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, you will love How to Train Your Dragon. One of the top 10 films of the year. Easy.
Nice.
And on that note, we're going to get out of here. I want to say thank you to the chat room for joining us for the whole day. I want to say thank you to you guys for sticking around the whole day. It's always a long day on Saturday nowadays.
Yep.
I want to say thank you to everybody who listens to this show and keeps us going in iTunes. Remember, all of our shows do need reviews on iTunes.
And mine.
And Josh's. Head over to iTunes, drop a quick review. It will help us move up. Do you know what our goal here is right now, guys? We need American listeners to drop reviews.
Yep.
Because we want to get up onto the new and noteworthy page on American iTunes. That's the trick here. And particularly for the Film Actually show. That's the one we really want to get pushed out there. Okay? So, guys, thank you very much. We'll talk to you all. Oh, wait a minute. I've got to find credits and stuff, don't I? Do we have credit music and everything? I hope so. See if the board crashes again. Bye, guys. We'll see you all next week.
Unstructured much?